Hello and welcome to the Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale. You know, you can get some fantastic cosmetic spaces made in their certified organic facility to help you expand your product line so you can devote more of your time to marketing the products that you sell. It's a great thing over there at Essential Wholesale, and they've got some really nice shipping deals going on right now, and also a wonderful private label selector where you can have your cosmetics private labeled for your company in very low quantities. Check it out today at EssentialWholesale.com. Well, as you know, we have been utilizing this time on the Indie Business Podcast to talk about H.R. 5786, which is the Safe Cosmetics Act of 2010. I'm really excited to be able to share this time with people whose lives will be impacted by this legislation if it passes as written, and also to talk openly about what some of the alternatives might be for reasonable cosmetics law reform. We all want safe cosmetics, right? And we are excited about the opportunity to work with congressional staffers and other stakeholders to create cosmetics law reform that's rationally related to the goal of ensuring this nation's cosmetic supply. But you know what? As you know from the blog I maintain at opposedfca.com, the companies that I represent, the companies that we talk about here on this show, are very small companies that are using safe ingredients in their cosmetics, and they have some fantastic stories to tell about how they started their businesses and how they've maintained them. So I'm excited to introduce you today to my guest. We have Valerie Reed. She is the owner of Valana Minerals in California, and Valerie specializes in manufacturing mineral makeup for women of color. Welcome, Valerie.
Hi, Donna. How are you today?
I'm good. We've also got Vanessa Nixon Klein. She is in Washington State, and she is the founder and owner of Herbs of Grace. Vanessa also manufactures mineral makeup, and she's got a fantastic story to tell as well. She's a wife, she's a mom, and she's created her business, as so many women, including Valerie, have, by hand, from scratch, with the goal of creating safe cosmetics. It's a wonderful thing that they're doing. We're also going to have later on in the show Ann Woolledge. She is in Lincoln, Nebraska, and she manufactures aromatherapy products, body oils, massages, and handmade soap. And recently, her husband started working with her in their family business. It's such an exciting time, made possible largely by the Internet and the availability of fantastic natural and safe ingredients that are available for companies to use. So ladies, let's kick it off. I'd like to share with our listeners a little bit about your stories. How did you start your business, Valerie?
I started at home. I had trouble finding makeup that matched my skin tone. I have deep brown skin, and it was always very difficult for me to find something that matched, that didn't make me look like I had a mask on. And so I thought, well, maybe I could make this happen. My business focus is also a vegan and all natural, and I have a lot of friends and family who are vegan, and most of them really don't like to think about what's in their lipstick or lip gloss in terms of animal byproducts, and so that was one of my focuses as well. Was to get something, come up with a line that would work well with a very diverse population in addition to being all natural and vegan.
And you also, Valerie, you're also employed full-time as well, right?
Yes, I teach sociology at a community college in California, and I've been teaching for, 12 years now, and so I'm a tenured professor, and I do that during the day, and then at night and on weekends I run my business, and my business has grown to the extent that I have a lot of help now, so I have family that helps me out and keep things going while I'm teaching class.
And you know, Valerie, it's interesting to me, the increase in the number of people who have traditional full-time jobs as you do, who have also made the choice to start a business of their own. That sounds like it is a whole lot of work. Tell us a little bit about what went into that decision for you and how it affects your lifestyle.
Well, it really is like it's two full-time jobs and then some, because you know, everybody who has a business knows that being an entrepreneur is not an 8-to-5 thing. You work a lot all the time. And so I think it was important for me, though, because of what I'm doing. And I didn't realize the extent to which it would be important for my customers at the time I was doing it, because I looked at myself as my ideal customer, and I knew that I had trouble finding the products that I wanted. And so I imagined there were other people out there like me, but I didn't realize the magnitude, the extent to which other folks were looking for a similar product or a similar idea. And so that has kind of taken me off guard. I didn't expect it to grow as quickly as it has. And so that's taken a lot of adjusting, but it's great because I love what I do. I love formulating. It's fun. I love interfacing with my customers, and I actually still love teaching as well. So it's work, and sometimes I just feel exhausted, so I have to, you know, escape for a little while. But it's still great because I really do love what I'm doing.
And so wonderful to know that your business has grown to the point where you can actually hire some help. That's fantastic. So, Valerie, it sounds like your products are filling a significant need in the marketplace for women of color that even you didn't anticipate when you started.
That's true. I actually like to give a couple of examples. I had a customer on the phone with me a few months ago, actually in tears. She was crying because she said that my lipstick didn't make her break out. And she'd gone so many years without wearing lipstick that made her break out. This made her, you know, she was emotional about it. And I have customers all the time that tell me that they finally found foundation that matches their skin. One of my customers, I actually based one of my regular foundation colors on her skin. So she sat down long enough for me to formulate for her, and it's now one of my best-selling shades. And she told me that she was 60 years old, and she had never in her life had a foundation shade that actually matched her skin.
Wow, what a testimony to what you're doing, and how excited you must be when you hear that. Thank you for sharing that. Vanessa, tell us a little bit about how you started your business.
Well, actually, I started my business back in 1997, making handcrafted herbal soaps and skincare products, and I sold them at the local farmers market. And eventually, I expanded my product line to body care products and facial care products. And I built up a pretty loyal following at the farmers market and a broad clientele. And the one thing that they always kept asking me was for a completely natural makeup line. And, you know, what could I do? What could I suggest to them? Could I formulate something? And so I decided that what I really needed to do was to start researching makeup in general and start researching ingredients, safe ingredients, natural ingredients. And I took a few years and experimented and researched and finally came up with my line of mineral makeup called Natural Look Mineral Makeup. And I debuted that line in 2003. And within 6 months, it became 90% of my sales. And so I decided at that point I needed to streamline my products, and so I discontinued the soap lines and the other skincare lines and just focused on the mineral makeup. And so that's what I've been doing ever since with Herbs of Grace.
And Vanessa, what was the year that you started again?
Herbs of Grace was started in 97, and the Natural Look Mineral Makeup line was debuted in 2003.
And Valerie, what year did you start?
I started in 2007, early 2007.
We have like 14, 15 years of experience here just between the two of you with your businesses. And Vanessa, I know your business is a family-owned business. You're a wife and a mom as well, right?
Correct, yes. My husband co-owns the business with me now and does help out with a lot of the marketing and website. I still pretty much do everything else, although I have been able in the last couple of years to contract with some local ladies to help me with my packaging, which actually has been really fulfilling because they're young women and they've started their own businesses as, you know, packaging. And so I've been able to help them figure out, you know, what they need to do to register their businesses and kind of help them out there. And they're really excited that, you know, at 16, 17 years old, they're entrepreneurs now. So that's been really fulfilling.
Your business has even, you know, resulted in a profit for you and benefits to your family, obviously, and given you a chance to give back, mentoring other people to help them start their own businesses. That's so fantastic. Valerie, tell me, how do you sell your products?
Primarily online. I have a web store, and I do local events, farmers markets, cultural fairs, things like that. And recently, I'm also selling in two Whole Foods stores in Texas.
Wow, so Whole Foods Market carries your products. Wow, that's exciting. How about you, Vanessa?
Mainly, I am marketing through my website, retail, and I do have wholesale clients. We are in about 60 different retail locations around the country, and we are also in Whole Foods in the Northwest region.
Wow, exciting. Valerie, tell me a little bit about your plans for growth of your business, what you can share. I know there's probably some fantastic secret stuff we can't know. But what kinds of things are you looking forward to for Velana Minerals?
Well, I'm looking forward to expanding the line. I want to expand into different delivery methods for the foundation, give more options there. I've recently had my website translated into Spanish and Portuguese. And so I'm working with a makeup artist in Brazil to get my products going there. And I'm still working with someone here on the Spanish end. And I also want to work with Whole Foods to expand distribution in the southern region as well.
And Valerie, what is your product launch situation? Like, how do you research ingredients? What sorts of things goes into, you know, in high-level overview form? What goes into making sure that you create safe cosmetics from the ingredients to how they're manufactured?
Well, I start off by limiting myself in terms of the ingredients that I use. So from the get-go, it has to be all natural and it has to be vegan. So that philosophy limits me in a number of ways, which is good because it also allows me to be more creative with a narrow framework of available ingredients. And so the FDA provides guidelines on what ingredients are approved for cosmetic usage and things like that. And so once you go through all of that and then list, you know, your parameters of vegan and natural, there's a very specific set of products that you're able, you know, to work with, or ingredients, I should say. And so that's where I start, are the ingredients that I can use to maintain my company philosophy, and in addition to that, adhere to the FDA guidelines. And so that's how I start. And then I survey my customers and ask them what they're looking for in terms of convenience or shades and things like that. And I try to stick with things that are traditional that, you know, people will use every day. I don't really follow, I guess, the trends in terms of colors and things like that because, you know, the sociologist in me knows that we're kind of creatures of habit and we use the same color lipstick every day even though we have 10 different shades. The one we use every day is just the one. So I'd rather focus on selling just the one as opposed to the 10.
Valerie, I know every product is different, but how approximately, you know, how many months or years do you generally take in development and research before you launch a product?
Oh, gosh. Well, the initial line, I researched about 3 years before starting it, and it really depends. If I hit on something right away and it's good and my product testers adore it, and then I'll go with it. But other things, it takes a while until I get it just right. So, for example, I've been working on a cream eyeshadow for a year and a half, and it's just not quite ready, in my opinion. My product testers love it, but there's something missing in it for me, so I'm not ready. So I won't release that yet.
Well,
other
things,
other things, it goes a little bit faster. So wonderful.
Thank you for sharing that. We're going to take our first break and come back and talk with Vanessa about her product launch process. What goes in to manufacturing cosmetics on a small scale? This is exciting stuff and so important for all of us, really, as entrepreneurs, women, family members, to know about what goes into launching a business and making it work, because these days it's so important for pretty much everyone to keep business ownership on the radar, even if they have a traditional job, so that they don't have to depend entirely on a traditional job for their well-being and the support of their families. We're going to come back and talk more about that as it concerns cosmetics, of course, right here on the Indie Business Podcast. Don't touch that mouse. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to the Indie Business Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here along with my guest, Ann Woolledge in Lincoln, Nebraska, the owner of Wingset, Vanessa Nixon Klein at Herbs of Grace in Mossy Rock, Washington State, and also Valerie Reed of Valana Minerals in the Los Angeles area in California. And before we took our first break, Valerie was sharing how much work and time and resources, energy and effort goes into formulating a new cosmetic product. She said that she's been working on a cream foundation for a year and a half, and it's still not ready to launch. So congratulations to Valerie for really, you know, taking the time to make sure that her products are what she wants them to be as safe as possible before she launches. Tell us a little bit about that process for you, Vanessa.
The process for me is very similar to what Valerie described, and I have some of the very same parameters, for my ingredients that she listed. The foundation of my company has always been using all natural ingredients and vegan as well. And so as she stated, you know, that really limits the ingredients that you're going to research right off the bat. And also, as she stated, the FDA does have guidelines of what you can use in your cosmetics. And so researching those ingredients that are left on your list, you know, is the primary focus. And then once you have determined, you know, which ingredients you're going to use, then you need to start researching suppliers. And that has taken probably the largest amount of my time is, you know, contacting suppliers, testing out their samples, making sure that, you know, they're forthcoming with their ingredients and what's in them and the testing that is already required of them. For instance, with minerals and mineral makeup, they are already required to be analyzed. And so when I order minerals from my supplier, I get a certificate of analysis that shows that these minerals have already been tested and analyzed and shows that, you know, exactly what is in those minerals, and that they have, that they're already in compliance with the FDA regulations for what is considered cosmetic grade ingredients.
And you're thinking about, specifically since you're talking about mineral makeup, are you talking about the color certification?
No, just talking about the actual minerals, because, you know, minerals, of course, come from the earth, and there are a lot of different, you know, contaminants that can be in ingredients that come from the earth. And so all of those have to be tested to make sure that anything that might be harmful is already removed before it even gets down to the manufacturer's hand.
And so you get a report from your manufacturer already, or from your supplier already, that the minerals that you use in your cosmetics have been have been vetted for all of those things, and you actually have analyses of that from your suppliers?
We have certificates of analysis that we get with each order, yes.
Great. That's wonderful. And so, again, we're talking about how much energy and effort goes into the manufacturing process just on your own. You guys do this, and what you're both saying, it sounds like, is the first thing you do after you decide what type of product you make, before you're even into logos and packaging and stuff, is to really make sure that you have your ingredients down.
Correct, yes. Yeah, that's the most important thing, at least for me, you know, with my products and with my clientele. They want products that are all natural, and they want products that are vegan and that they know are safe. And so that becomes, you know, my primary responsibility and focus in my business is to make sure that I really have researched my ingredients, and I spend a lot of time on that, and I spend a lot of time going through studies, because almost all of these ingredients already have been studied, and those things are available. And, you know, going through the studies, going through the research that's already been done, and making sure that the ingredients I have are the safest out there.
Thank you for sharing that. Ann Woolledge in Lincoln, Nebraska, we're so excited to have you here. Now, your company is, you have a lot of beautiful aromatherapy products at your website. Ann, tell us how you started your business. What was the inspiration for it?
Well, thanks, Donna Maria. I'm really happy to be here. The impetus for me was I have extremely sensitive skin and have in my entire life, and my daughter was born with eczema. So I just became frustrated with not finding anything that I could use on my face in particular that didn't cause me to break out. And I did that for, I'll be 61, so 50-plus years I lived my life like that. And frankly, I was miserable every morning when I put my makeup on. So I started doing research, and your first book was one of the things that really gave me the encouragement to continue on. And I began to do research, as the other ladies mentioned. I just started researching, and I found that natural ingredients made an immediate difference on my skin. And I began to have clear skin, healthy skin, radiant skin, and I would get comments. And I took these products to my nursing job, and I took hand cream to them. And, of course, nurses have a hard time with their hands anyway because we have to wash our hands 1,000 times a day. And they began to notice a discernible difference in their health of their skin. So what didn't really mean to start as a business morphed into a business that is really helping a lot of people. And that's, and as the other ladies mentioned, being an entrepreneur is not an easy job. It is a 16-hour plus day, and it is frustrating, and you have to give up your a lot of your finances to put back into the company. But it's been worth it because I see people come to me all the time, and they've seen the difference that it's made in them, their skin. And just like I spent lots of money on Lancome's and Estee Lauder's and all of that stuff, and dermatologists. So that's pretty much what started us and has kept us going.
And how has being a business owner impacted you and your family, having a business of your own?
That's an enormous question for us because we live it. We live it morning to night because it's in the house. We had a shop for a little while, but it's in the house, so we don't walk away from it. It takes over our entire kitchen. It takes over two bedrooms and a living room. And we want to change that, and that's something that and I can talk about that later, but that's one of the problems with our plans for growth is this new legislation is going to hamper that significantly.
How has having your business impacted your family's finances? I know the economy is a little bit nuts now. I don't know exactly what's going on in Lincoln, Nebraska, but has having a business resulted in some benefits financially for your family?
It didn't at first. Frankly, my retirement, when I retired from the nursing from one of the hospitals, went totally into Wingsets, to finance Wingsets. So my retirement is nil right now. And we did plow a lot of money because we didn't borrow money. We plowed my money back in. But now this last year with the farmers market, new website, we are starting to be able to actually live on the money from Wingsets, and we're actually almost back up to my nursing income, which is significant for us. I mean, we're not talking millions of dollars, of course, but it's a decent income, and it's certainly more than we had thought as quickly since we've been doing the farmers markets and the new website. Just the last 2 years, it has grown substantially. I can say that. So,
could you go back to nursing if things don't work out for your business?
Well, I'll have to. I don't want to. I'll have to find some kind of a desk job because I had foot surgery and I can't do the 12-hour hospital shifts anymore. I'm a pharmaceutical phobe, so that was one of the reasons I didn't want to be a nurse anymore. I didn't like handing out cups of pharmaceutical medications to my patients, and I saw what it did to them. Whereas I know that aromatherapy works much, much better, cheaper. So philosophically, it would be very difficult for me to go back to nursing. Physically, it would be very, very difficult for me to go back to nursing.
I see.
You know, if we're going to eat, live, you know, and not be on welfare, I guess I'll have to find something, you know.
How do you sell your products? You said farmers markets and website?
We started out word of mouth. We had the shop. Our website has gone from my own homemade website to a new professional website. So we do sell quite well on the website now. The farmers market started this year, and it has been extremely profitable and fun, and I get to meet my customers. We have a lot of people that just call and order things and come to the house. We have people coming to the house quite a bit now. I keep the product in the entryway in some cabinets. So we have a lot of repeat customers because I've been in business now for 8 to 9 years, and once they start using the product, they keep using it. So it's kind of like a snowball effect, and it just builds, which is
so exciting to see that just in the three ladies that we have in this call, which is a very small fraction of the number of people manufacturing cosmetics on a small scale in this country. In fact, some of my colleagues in the coalition that I work with at the Handcrafted Soap Makers Guild and Brambleberry and Essential Wholesale and Bella Luce, which I definitely want to tip my hat to for a lot of the work that they've done, have collected some statistics approximating that there are about 450,000, almost a half a million companies that make cosmetics on a small scale in this country, and that is nothing to sneeze at. So excited to have you all here. We're going to talk a little bit now about some of the specific things that we can find in H.R. 5786, and of course we can't cover everything, and what we do cover will just be touching from a high-level overview, but there are a couple of things that stand out to me, and I'm just wondering how they stand out to you. So how would some of these provisions affect your business? Valerie, I know we've got some requirements in the legislation that, if passed, would change the way products need to be labeled. How would this affect your business? How would this particular change affect your business, Valerie? And do you think it's necessary? And if not, why not?
Well, I don't think it's necessary because our businesses are already compliant with the existing labeling guidelines. I take a minimalist approach when I'm formulating, but I also take a minimalist approach on packaging. So I try to get as much information as possible on the jar itself so I don't create additional waste by having boxes and additional inserts with packaging and things like that. And even though my foundation really only has four basic ingredients, with the requirements as they're stated, I'd have to change all of my packaging. I wouldn't be able to package as I do now. So my minimalist approach would be out the window.
You have approximately, you have basically four ingredients, at least in the product that you're thinking about, four ingredients. And can you now get all the information in terms of labeling that you need on, well, I guess you can get it on the product label because you're complying with the requirements. What sorts of additional information would you need? Would you need to have accordion labels? Would you need to give a piece of a whole paper or sheets of paper out with each jar of mineral foundation that you sell?
I would need, well, as I read the requirements, the analysis would require not just the ingredient, but every constituent that makes up that ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
So that would require a separate piece of paper as an insert. I can't see. The accordion would be too long. That wouldn't work. It would be a separate piece of paper that's an insert that lists all of those things. And then it would probably have to go into a box, and then that insert would go into the box. So that's the only way I could see that happening. I don't see any other way of feasibly making that work.
Now tell me this: if you have to list those trace constituents in ingredients and products that you use that you already know are safe, how does that jive with you as a business owner? I know you're committed to safe cosmetics. I've known you for several years, and it's always definitely seemed that way. What sorts of things do you think are unnecessary or burdensome about this requirement?
Well, the trace ingredients and the parts per billion, and I understand how that works, but there's no explanation of risk and exposure that goes along with those measurements. And so I think if on a label we're required to just say, you know, lead is in the product, then it makes it sound as though, or makes it look as though, we're putting lead in makeup when that's not happening. But lead is an element that's part of our environment. It's in our water. It's in the soil. It's everywhere. And so it's not that it's going to harm you just because it's in the water. There's a risk level. There's, you know, so much over a given period of time can hurt you. But there's no explanation of that in this labeling requirement. So to me, it seems like it's misguided in a way. And so that bothers me too. And as I'm a social scientist. I've done research before, and I understand how you assess someone's risk to a particular element or...
Let me see if I can try to summarize And I'm not a social scientist at all, so I want to try and see if I'm understanding this correctly. You're using the example of a trace element that may be found in your cosmetic at some, you know, extremely high parts per billion level, and disclosing that on the label, which would be required under this bill as drafted, would really not help anyone, because at the level it is found in that cosmetic, it's not harmful. Is that a fair summary?
Yes. I mean, we could say the same thing about water.
If
you look at the trace elements in water, there are some that could harm you, but we don't go around telling people, don't drink water, it'll kill you. Right. If you drink too much water, yes, you can die.
Right, certainly, and it can be very toxic if you go under some water and don't breathe.
Right.
or you do breathe, actually.
Exactly. But there's also another side to that that says, you know, a certain amount every day is good for you. And so I think that we should be more informed about how we inform the public or educate the public about the risk related to exposure, as opposed to just saying, oh, there's, you know, 200 parts per billion of this in there. But what does that mean?
Right. That would be a fun conversation with a lot of customers, too, explaining that. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk with Anne, Vanessa, and Valerie a little bit more. This is Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Podcast. I know you guys may have heard a little bit of static in the last segment. We are going to edit the show and minimize that as much as we can. But, you know, technology, as great as it is, sometimes we just got to roll with the punches here. So thank you so much for your patience. And, Valerie, thank you for sharing the information that you did. I want to talk with Anne for a second about the essential oils that she uses in her products. How would the labeling requirements in this bill affect you in terms of labeling, and do you think it's necessary for you to ensure the safety of the cosmetics you make?
Oh, definitely not. And I'll give you a good example. Linalool, which has been in the news lately, is said to be dangerous for people, toxic. And what they did was they injected rats directly into their abdominal cavity, large amounts of linalool. And that was even isolated, which is different than the synergy of the natural linalool. And what happened is, of course, the rats went into a stupor and actually a coma. So the Environmental Working Group and Skin Deep took that information out to the public without explaining that it was the large amount that they put in there, whereas, in fact, linalool is part of lavender. And at the correct amounts that we use in our products and everybody uses is awesome. It's amazing. It's very relaxing. People use it for pain control in hospitals now, but they exaggerated the amount. So now linalool has a bad rap to the public. So it would be totally confusing to my customers, to anyone, and I imagine aromatherapy in general is going to end up being, if this passes, is going to be one of those things that's going to go down the drain.
So does that mean that I won't be able to buy a lotion with lavender oil or lemon oil in it anymore?
That's exactly what that means. You will be getting synthetics. That's because
and is that because if you have to do all this testing, does that mean you would probably not be in business anymore?
Well, exactly. And I do get certificate of analysis and MSDS sheets on all my essential oils and on all my botanicals and on all my oils. But I would have to list, well, and I think Robert Tisserand and some other people have listed how many, every essential oil has 100 at least chemical constituents. So after each of those, I would have to list all of those chemical constituents, which means nothing to the public. It does to a certified aromatherapist like myself and other who have studied aromatherapy, and that's why we get the GCMS, the chromatology test. But to the public, it's totally confusing. So they won't know, and it will drive them away from it.
Right, so they won't know at all what it is. Vanessa, you're out there in Mossy Rock, Washington, involved in this discussion as well. Let's talk a little bit. We've talked about labeling. Let's talk a little bit about the registration requirements. What would that be like for you?
Well, as I understand it, the bill would require registration of the company name and location, every cosmetic that you make, every ingredient that's in those cosmetics, as well as your annual gross sales, the names and numbers of workers and addresses and names of all your suppliers. And a lot of these things are things that change, possibly more than once a year. For instance, small cosmetic companies like myself have the ability to create or reformulate their products according to their customers' needs. And so, you know, we might be introducing several new products every year. And so to be required to be submitting all of this paperwork on each and every new product would be, you know, very burdensome to small companies who are already using their resources and time that they have available on making their products safe to begin with.
And in terms of suppliers, I mean, let's just say one of your suppliers went out of business or they didn't have the ingredient that you needed immediately. What is that process like for you as a small business when you need to produce the product now as compared to what it would be like under this legislation?
Right. Well, and that is something that does come up every now and then. And so when it comes up, you're scrambling to try to find a new supplier to get the ingredients that you're used to using. And so you're using your time and resources, first of all, to find that new supplier, to get samples of that ingredient and to test them out, you know, with your formulation to make sure that it's going to work, and then to order the product to get it there on time so that you can continue to make and sell your products. On top of that, this legislation would mean that you would have to suddenly stop what you're doing and register your new supplier and their address and their name every time this happens.
Very interesting. And Anne, you know, I have a question for you. I'll go back to essential oils for a second. If you have to list all the trace components of an essential oil, does that mean that every time you get a new batch of oils, you're going to have to make a whole new list? Because aren't essential oils different from batch to batch in terms of their components?
Exactly. They totally are. And my suppliers would be, as she just mentioned, my suppliers change periodically, just from political changes in a country and the crop, how the weather has been. So I've spent the last 2 weeks looking for essential oil sources that I've had to change because of those sorts of situations. The supplier will be out of an essential oil. So yes, and so that means my certificate of analysis is different. My chemical constituents are different. So I would be constantly, and if we don't print our own labels, that means you have to go out, and I do, luckily at this point, I don't plan to in the future when we grow, but I have to print my, they would have to go to the printer again with the lead time, and that would cost because they charge you each time you change it. So it would be a totally impossible situation. It just is.
And Anne, would you also obviously, I guess, end up throwing out old labels and then
exactly
which batch of essential oil and which trace components were used in the products that you sold to person A at this particular time, so you would be able to keep your good manufacturing practices up as well.
That's very, very true. And we also use a lot of herbs, and they're usually USDA certified organic, but once I open the package, put them in my distilled water, then they're no longer considered a certified organic. I mean, they're still a certified organic ingredient, but they would have to be tested. My infusions would have to be tested.
And you know, Ann, tell me this too, just really quickly, I have a few minutes left. You recently were awarded some financial grants from the FDA through another company, as well as from the Agricultural Service in your state. Tell us really quickly about that.
That's true. That's where we got our new website, was the FDA, USDA FDA, gave us a grant to study yucca from Nebraska. So we dig up yucca, and I've formulated a process to do that. So they've plowed quite a bit of money into wing sets in the last couple of years, which all of that will, of course, go down the drain as soon as this legislation passes.
It's just fascinating to me. Is it to you that the tentacles just reach beyond anything I would have thought of? I never would have thought of that. And how ironic that an agency has helped you grow your business so that you can support local agriculture, and that same agency or a partner agency or a co-agency, sister agency, would have to enforce regulations that would essentially force the waste of all that money.
Exactly. That's so true.
Highly interesting to me. Well, ladies, I know this has been such a fascinating discussion. I can't believe we're around to the end of our hour. Time goes by so quickly. Just really quickly want to wrap up and ask you to tell me where people can go to find out more about your businesses. First, Valerie?
VolanaMinerals.com is my website.
Great. So mineral makeup for women of color that's natural and vegan. Vanessa?
HerbsOfGrace.com.
HerbsOfGrace.com. Fantastic. And Ann?
Ours is Wingsets.com. We also have BugsOff.com, which is a natural insect repellent.
Excellent. So how great is it these ladies have their websites? Their Twitter names are exactly what their website names are, Volana Minerals, Herbs of Grace, and Wingsets. Thank you, Valerie, Vanessa, and Ann, for joining. I'm very excited to have you. I want you guys to know that next week, right here on the Indie Business Podcast Live on August 23rd, I have Dan Marshall. He is the co-owner of Peapod's Natural Toys and Baby Care Store in St. Paul, Minnesota. He is also on the board of directors, or employed by, I can't remember which, I want to make sure I get this right, of the Handmade Toy Alliance, a trade organization representing manufacturers of children's products that are dealing with an issue similar to ours, although their legislation has passed, the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act of 2008, which forced children's toy manufacturers to do tests on products for ingredients and components that they did not even use in their products. We're going to be talking with him about how that legislation impacted his company, and he's going to give us some ideas for how we can make a difference and influence in a positive way the legislative process here as it concerns H.R. 5786. That's right here next week on the Indie Business Podcast. I'll see you then. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.